How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse what you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict. Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, Brian's back. I don't care. I'm breaking it. But welcome to session 121 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP network, if you will. And we will. So, guess who's back? Back again. Brian's back. All right, I'm done. How you doing, man? You feeling good after your hiatus?
Yeah. Feeling pretty good, man. Obviously, pretty long hiatus. Little longer than I think anticipated, but much needed, and did a lot of good for me. Just in terms of kind of resting up a little and getting a clear mind. So I appreciate your understanding with that, and everybody's understanding with that, but. It's nice to be back with you. I've missed our conversations, and I missed talking football with you. So I'm excited about tonight and getting back at it.
Yeah, it's okay. I just held your pay for the weeks you missed. So
fair enough.
You actually didn't.
I actually didn't. Yes, I know. I realized while I'm sitting there, I'm like, no, we actually a patron. And yeah, I did send you money, man.
You did. I owe you a refund.
Yeah, seriously, give me money back.
I'll send it.
No, hold on. We're gonna wait right now. Send it. Send it now. No,
I,
no talking.
I would take can. That would take logging in to something, and
ugh, and you're so
I'm
bad.
Old, so like oh passwords God. Are a thing. So
you'll have to go through your notebook of handwritten yes. passwords because you're yep. an old person like that.
Got to go get it out of my safe.
But you have to find the hidden piece of paper with your safe combination on it. My father-in-law
yes,
has that.
Exactly.
Behind a somewhere in the house, there's a picture that if you take out the picture, has the safe combination.
Oh, man. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. So let's, I guess, man, how do you pivot from hiding safe combinations on written paper and passwords to football? I don't know, but we're going to find a way to do it. Man, like the past few weeks, there's a little bit of news. Today, we don't have super much, but George Kittle got paid. So we've had two tight ends that just showed Jimmy Graham what's up, and they got paid that wide receiver money mm-hmm. because Kittle got 5 years, $75 million. I mean, that's a lot. So that is straight up like top wide receiver money. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Jimmy Graham, if only he wasn't completely decrepit these days. I hope he feels good about himself that he laid the tracks for the future, right? I mean, you got to feel right. good about something. Otherwise, you just cry, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, they paid him, and rightfully so. I mean, Kittle deserves it. He's
probably the he and Kelce are the top two in the game pretty easily, I think. And that whole offense in San Fran runs through him. I mean, he's the main receiving threat. So, I was excited to hear that, that he's going to stay with San Francisco for a while here. And, I'm excited about seeing that offense with Kittle leading the way, this season again. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, man, big money. Wow. I mean, good for him.
Doesn't change rankings for you in any way, right. shape or form, especially because both the two guys did. Okay. So I have to ask a question to you personally.
Mm-hmm.
Who are your top? Give me like your top four or five tight ends, dynasty wise.
Kittle, Kelce, Ertz, and Andrews, and those two might be flipped depending on the.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking specific order. I'm just like, give me your top five.
And yeah, though, five. Still though, five. I mean, five based on.
Just pure dynasty value. We're not talking
about. I
know,
but I have. Hey, I've been on hiatus for like 6 weeks, so my feelings on my feelings on some of this has been,
Okay, so let me just tell you why you got someone, or do you want me just to keep going?
Yeah, no, I have somebody that I feel like. So I think Evan Ingram is probably or probably was that five for me, but I think it's Noah Fant now.
Okay, so that's exactly why I wanted to bring this up. Noah Fant is tight end four in DLF ADP for August.
Yeah.
And I think that's crazy. Like, I was talking about this with, I don't even remember who anymore. I talk about to too many people about too many things. But, man, like, what has Evan Engram done besides his rookie year where literally everything went right for him to stay up this high? Like,
I think it's athletic. I think a lot of it is athleticism.
I mean Darren Waller is only 2 years older than he is, and Darren Waller just balled the hell out. And who the hell was I? I was when you were on Haratus, I had Chris Allen and Adam Wilde on, and I had them say, I asked them, I'm like, I don't get Waller. I've been completely out on him ever since Renfrow came back. Sell him to me a little bit. And they're like, things didn't change that much. And I'm like, no, he was terrible. And they're like, no, he wasn't. And they read me off his stats and everything. I'm like, no, he wasn't that bad. He still had like a low 20% target percentage, market share. That's the word. Even after Renfrow came back. And yeah, they added some weapons, but I still think, like you said before, he's still kind of not about Waller, but like, I think that offense might run through him a little bit. And like, not many tight ends get 20 something percent market share. And I think he still probably will, especially with, Bryan Edwards not getting the real, preseason treatment and that kind of stuff. So it might take a little while for him and Ruggs maybe to turn it on a little bit. Like you said, Fant is, I think I'm buying pretty big into TJ Hockenson at this point.
Yep.
I would have him up there. I mean, to be fair, I think the Gesicki hype has him above Engram at this hype. Like, the Gesicki hype is for real. Like, yeah. I've been trying to do things I don't normally do trade-wise, especially in a weird time like this. Like, a month or two ago, I started buying running backs. Like, I even offered a trade for you to try and get Zeke in six, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And, I bought a share of Zeke, I bought a share of Saquon and that kind of stuff. And then I started going after tight ends a little bit. Like, after that conversation with them too, I went after Waller. I went after Irv. I mean, I have Irv Smith everywhere and Jonnu at this point. Like, they're my low end guys pretty much. I went after Hawk a little bit, and I went after Waller, but I can't. I have one share of Ingram, and it's the Vampire League where we stole him because there's a big tight end premium, and he was just pretty much the best choice on that team. But otherwise, I have him absolutely nowhere. I don't. And it's weird. Like, I don't really see the talk of Evan Engram being that high still, but still, he's six people made it that he is tight end four. I mean, mind has been blown. That. Oh man, hold on, really? Before you start going, sorry to.
Yeah, no.
So it's six mock drafts for DLF that make up the ADP. Listen to this spread. So he was picked at 57, 61, 66, 80, 83, 84. I mean, there's almost a 3-round difference in his range to still be tight end 4. That's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ingram is kind of you're right. It's kind of a tough one. I mean, obviously the age and the athleticism play into that. An offense where the receiving weapons are getting better, I think. I mean, Shepard hasn't been horrible. Slayton.
Well, he's been good when he's healthy.
I
mean, the same thing with Ingram, I guess.
Right.
But Shepard, I mean, values in the tank because he doesn't stay healthy, but Engram's tight end 4. He doesn't really stay healthy either.
Yeah. I think he's the type of guy, though. Like, so I had him in a home league last year, and he was, I mean, for the first several weeks of the season, he carried, like, he was good. I mean, he was putting up, you know, 25 points a game. I mean, it was, you know, so he's one of those tight ends that can give you the positional advantage when he's healthy and in the offense. The problem with him over the last couple of years is he just can't stay on the field. I mean, he's been banged up pretty much, you know, outside of his rookie. He was even banged up in his rookie season, I think. But, you know, I think that probably plays into your doubts, is just he can't stay on the field. I think it's the age, the athleticism, a young quarterback, although Daniel Jones is a gunslinger. So I don't really know that, you know, that the he's chucking the ball down. Really right. Plays, yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I think here's the thing for me about, so Noah Fant is like, so I think he's just as athletic. Okay. And the thing about Fant is he is in an offense now. And so Drew Locke is a question mark for me. I'm not my Super Show brethren are very pro Drew Locke and that's fine. And I'm not anti Drew Locke. I have him. I actually drafted him in the fishbowl. So, so I hope he has a big year, a monster year, but that team really added some pieces on the offensive side of the football in the last two drafts and this draft specifically at the wide receiver position in Jerry Jeudy and in KJ Hamler potentially. They have Cortland Sutton, who to me is a legitimate number one in the league, number one wide receiver for the Broncos. So some people, right, the narrative on Fant right now is that some people are, well, they have weapons everywhere, so like he's not going to get the volume needed to, I don't think that matters. I really don't. I think he's the type of player now that they have those other players that defenses have to pay attention to. They're going to be putting a slow linebacker or a smaller bodied safety on Noah Fant in single coverage. And he's going to dominate in my opinion. I think we saw flashes last year. But I think that he takes another big step this year, with Drew Locke and really, I just think they're going to be able to take advantage of mismatches in the passing game with Noah Fant.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of done talking about tight ends because I don't really know what else to say. I mean, I completely agree, but I'm going to transition, if you will. I saw a camp video of KJ Hamler, and his footwork was just freaking insane. Yeah. And I bring that up because the next thing on my list of news is practice videos galore.
Yeah.
The past few days have been nuts with really, really dumb videos from training camp.
Yeah.
Like the Steelers tweet out, check out this touchdown from Roethlisberger to
Claypool.
Yeah, Claypool.
He jumped like 3 inches off the ground.
And it was a coach guarding him
that
took 3 steps and stopped. It's just like, then the Eagles did one for Dallas Goedert where it just looked like Wentz threw it too high on the sideline and he jumped. It's just like, all right, like, cool. I'm glad that they showed me a couple of throws from Tua that his motion looks good. It doesn't look like he's hindered at all by the hip. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, that's it. That's all I've gotten so far out of the 17,000 videos I've seen, besides me being, all right, maybe I can buy into Hamler a little bit more because while I'm not putting any credence in the fact that he made the defender slip because it's probably a fourth ranked cornerback on the team. I almost said seed, but that's wrong. Like, and one-on-one drills just are set for the offense to win 99% of the time. But still, you see his feet move. You saw him cutting, and it looked really good. But, like, there's all of these jump one-handed catches. Eric Ebron in the back of the end zone making a one-handed catch and stuff like that. It's just, I guess we're hurting for content. And
we are. Yeah.
So, I guess, yeah. Again, so I don't know if this is more than normal or if it's just, it seems like it because we went from nothing to training camp videos.
Yeah. So, you ripped on the Steelers twice in that.
Well, monologue. That's just because they're bored and
so welcome back. Welcome back.
What do you want me to say, man?
It's fine.
What do you want me to say?
It's okay. You don't have to say anything. So
there was a wonderful video.
I was going to make a Seahawks joke, but I think I'll pass.
I was about to say there was a wonderful training camp video of Chris Carson catching the ball because he's healthy.
Yeah. Did that one go over the head, or is that a purposefully ignored joke?
Keep moving on.
Okay. So the camp videos, right? So that brings up an interesting kind of thing maybe to discuss a little bit, or that I'm interested to get your opinion on. So Dynasty is very, you know, I mean, this game that we play is very fun and very interesting in terms of the way that people value certain things, right? So we value youth, quite a bit in Dynasty, right? And, you know, so we're always looking at like, who's going to be the next guy, right? And who's going to be the guy that we can maybe get right now before they blow up and really their value just skyrockets. And I think a lot of people, because of I know that we've talked, or the community as a whole has talked about COVID related stuff, ad nauseum at this point in terms of what is the season going to be and is it going to be different and all the different aspects of that. I think one thing for me is if I'm approaching this the way that I've approached it the whole time in just saying, okay, I have to approach this season kind of assuming the best, right? And assuming that there's going to be a season. It may end up looking different than what we traditionally see. Mm-hmm. It probably will, in all fairness. But, you know, I think one of the things I'm doing as far as like a zag when people are zigging or a zig when those.
As long as you're going one way when they're going the other. Doesn't
exactly.
Matter
yeah. So I'm more interested in like veteran players right now. Guys that I know are going to, and I'm not saying like old guys per se, but like guys that I'm not worried about on, like a lot of times the rookie, right? The rookies, we want the rookies. We want the new fresh, you know, players that are entering the league on these teams and that can take you from having a good dynasty team to being a real top contender because they just burst onto the scene and inject that life into your dynasty roster. I don't think we're going to get a lot of those guys this year. You know, I don't think we're going to get a lot of those guys this year. I think this is a year where this class was hyped as such a great class, and I still think it is from a talent perspective.
Yeah.
But given the external circumstances with COVID that is out of anybody's control and with the time being limited at camps and the type of work that they would get in a normal off season versus what they're getting this off season is, you know, I don't know. It just has me a little bit less likely to. Well, two things. It has me a little less likely to kind of be reliant on those players this season, and it has me a little more likely to maybe buy into those guys if they aren't bursting on the scene like their dynasty managers want them to, or expect them to, because it might provide an opportunity to get some of these guys that had all the talent in the world. You know, but due to the circumstances surrounding the pandemic and all of that and the changes, you know, how that's going to affect the NFL and fantasy and all of that, you know, it might present an opportunity to get some of those guys a little bit, you know, at a little bit better cost than what it would have previously or what it normally would cost to acquire those guys.
Yeah, it's actually works a little twofold. Yeah, because I think players like Swift and Akers, where there's another guy there. I mean, all of them really, I guess, except for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who Brian, since he's been unplugged for so long, just learned that CEH is 105 in August ADP and flipped his crap a little bit. There's a good chance the season starts and the vets on that team get a little bit more play than A, we thought, B, probably would have happened if there was a full preseason routine with the training camps and actual preseason games. Mm-hmm. So if you do have that one guy who like came in third, second place, traded for the 104 and ended up with J.K. Dobbins, but he's getting pissed off that Mark Ingram's still getting too much run. You're right. Maybe you can get a little bit, you know, catch him being a little too antsy on needing to score points or wanting to score points. Absolutely. Yes, I completely agree. And, but I think there's one or two guys where it came out today that Jalen Reagor is already a starting wide receiver. I think, there's also some wonderful hype videos about Jerry Jeudy where it's like already in his stride and stuff like that. And it's him literally just catching passes. There's literally zero special about what he's doing. But the Denver Broncos felt the need to make a hype video still, even though he had not done anything special. Like, I think there's still a couple of guys that will be able to show right away. And I kind of want to make this joke a little bit. I think AJ Dillon's going to be fine. And I think we know that just because NFL tweeted out a side-by-side picture of AJ Dillon's quads to Saquad's quads. And that got Brian a little steamied up.
No comment.
No, but so I think it does run a little on both sides. I think you're going to find a couple of later rounds guys like, I mean, I know we were joking about it, but I think there's like Chase Claypool, just because he's a giant, like Michael Pittman, like these big guys. I think they might catch a couple more touchdowns because they may only now be put in on goal line sets as opposed to being played a lot more. So I think it's going to be a really like you said, man, who knows? But it's going to be so weird. And I think it's going to lead to fun, assuming not too much gets canceled, because to think it's going to go perfectly, I think, is a little naive. But hopefully, like, a lot of games don't get canceled. But I think this is going to be so different than anything we've sat through before, especially dynasty value wise, that it's definitely going to make things interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I got to bring up AJ Dillon's quads versus Saquon's quads. And, you know,
that's about enough.
Yeah.
They're going to have fans too. Did you see that? That was announced today. There's going to be fans at so the Chiefs, I guess, came out and said that at the opening game there on Thursday the 10th, they're going to have 22% capacity at Arrowhead.
Yeah, that's interesting. The only thing I saw was late last week where Jerry Jones was saying that the Cowboys were going to play in front of stands. I didn't see that the Chiefs came out and said it also. It's
I can't imagine that's going to go well.
I assume that they want the money. I assume that they want the crowd noise for some, like, is 22% going to give you a good home field advantage? I mean, I don't think that's really going to, you know, fans cheering while the other offense is out there isn't really going to cause any false starts at 22%.
Right.
Man, and part of me wants to believe that not 22% of an NFL stadium amount of people want to go to an NFL stadium, regardless of what the seating arrangements will be, but I'm sure I'll be let down on that one.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know, man. We're going to get off this because it's going to start hurting my brain. but along the same lines of a COVID season, at least what I have been touting and, you know, the people I've been bringing on our show, you weren't here. We've been saying that depth is going to play a very big key factor in the ability to still win in your fantasy leagues. And one of those big ones was Rodney Anderson for a while, because Mixon's a workhorse. If he goes out, Gio's not going to carry the, you know, a workhorse load. So we all thought Rodney Anderson would be that next guy up. Well, the Bengals cut him today because he did not pass his physical. So Travion Williams season? Mm-hmm. He's the next guy after Gio. Unfortunately, him and Gio are kind of similar. So I don't know what that backfield would look like if Joe Mixon needed to miss some time. But I guess he is a good end of roster stash.
Yeah, but I would take a chance.
I still have him on a bunch of taxi squads. That's the word for football.
I would still want Gio. I mean, oh, yeah, Gio caught a ton of balls last year. Gio was their leading receiver out of the backfield.
I'm really hoping that changes. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I don't have that many Joe Mixon shares, but for the sport, for the player and all of that stuff, like he can, so he should. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason to hold that guy back. I guess there is a reason to hold him back because you don't want him being Christian McCaffrey and getting 99% snap share and, you know, 600 just a season. So right after you're about to pay the guy. But no, I think Travion Williams is a good end of the bench thing. We have a question later on, so I'm giving a little bit of a spoiler alert because it fit into the news where I was a little upset. Like Ronnie Anderson was one of those guys that came into the rookie drafts where it's like he should be good, but he's hurt so much that who the hell knows? Mm-hmm. So it's worth a pickup at some point. And one of those things that just didn't pan out. I hope, you know, down his career he can stay healthy because, you know, we always want people to succeed. We don't want to wish failure on anybody, especially when it's injury related and all that stuff. So yeah, that's all I got about the Bengals backfield at this point. Okay, but no, that's a lie. We have more to talk about in the Bengals backfield.
Oh geez, Joe Burrow?
No, backfield.
Well, he's in the backfield. He's back in the field.
It's good analysis right there.
But that's what our listeners tune in for.
Wait, no, okay. You know what I've missed? You know what I've missed, Brian?
What have you missed?
Hit me with the Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts trades!
That's what I've missed. Oof. Got the shivers, got the chills, got the vapors, all of those things.
Dino pod drops!
Give the freaking junkies their fantasy face-off drop. Just do it now so they can steal it.
I will. Fantasy face-off!
There you go. Dustin, just grab that. So Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 points for tight ends receptions, 0.05 points for return yardage. Again, along the lines with A, the Bengals backfield, B, depth being key to what we think will be a winning fantasy team. In Trade Addicts 6, we had Gio Bernard and Brian Hill for two 2021 thirds. I mean, I think this is a big, okay, sure. But I wanted to bring this up, A, because it was a wonderful transition from talking about the Bengals backfield and talking about depth to a trade that talks about both of those.
Yeah.
But also, like, yeah, this is the kind of stuff I think you should do, especially if your league expanded roster spots or if you just have a large roster in the first place. We have, like, 32, I think, mm-hmm. and I haven't shrunk them down from the 37 from the offseason yet. So, like, we have so much roster space. Plus, well, I haven't done it yet. We're expanding IR to 10. And all of, so we just have endless, endless rosters. So doing this, if you're competing, is a great move. And this is exactly what this was. I believe this was Two Drink who got them from J Mike. And J Mike is, I think, trying to get every single draft pick in the entire league.
Yeah. Right.
He has eight.
He's
firsts.
Got a ton of them. Yeah. Eight I've got two. Before. I've got two of the other four.
So just so everyone remembers, a first round, when you have the first, it's called pulling a Renshaw, the Renshaw round.
Yep.
We are very close for that being a J Mike round, pulling a J Mike, because man, he's working on it. I guess you are a roadblock in the J Mike over Renshaw train.
Come get him, J Mike.
Ooh, I kind of want to pull up his team to try and find a trade that would. But that's
well, he just traded away Chris Godwin, so that hurt pretty bad.
Well, to be fair, that's your fault for being disconnected and not seeing that he wanted to trade Chris Godwin.
Well, I did. I just
didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is another interesting one. Another Trade Addicts 6 trade. It was just straight up Michael Gallup for Christian Kirk. This is, you know, the kind of stuff I'm not super a fan of. But I kind of see the positives of both this. I just saw a tweet before we started recording that showed in both targets per game and yards per game, and I think there may have been one other stat I can't remember, but Michael Gallup beat Amari Cooper in both of them, in like every stat. So, I mean, Michael Gallup, and especially with in 2 years down the line what Cooper's contract is and how he can sort of go away. I mean, Gallup might be the number one until CD is like, nah, man, I got this. But Christian Kirk in that offense where they're just going to be throwing the ball a ton. I mean, okay, so Larry Fitzgerald has to slow down eventually. Well, he by
you've
week
said,
six.
You've,
he
said, you've been saying that since we started this podcast.
I've been saying it for years before we started this podcast. Well, no, I always say he's going to retire. But really, like, for the past 3 years, after week 6 to 8, he's always started to slow down. Mm-hmm. But, like, if they get to the speed, the Cardinals get to the speed they want to get to, I mean, Kirk could be 120 targets easy. And I don't know which I like more. I guess other people liked the other player more. I guess that's why they did this, or they were just bored and wanted to do a trade, which I get both of those, I guess. But I think I want Christian Kirk in this. I don't know if it's... I think I just liked him more coming out than I did Gallup coming out. I think that's the only reason I can think. Because I don't think either has shown that much more than we thought of them. Like, I mean, Gallup has progressed every year he's been. I think it's been like two, but still, like, both years he's done better. And Christian Kirk has a little bit of an injury issue, but still, he's done really well when he's on the field. So I shrugged when I saw this trade, and I guess I'm shrugging now. Still, I still don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Gallup for me last non-point scoring season was like my targeted guy, right? I mean, he was the guy that I was picking up everywhere I could. But I've always been a big Christian Kirk guy too. I mean, I like both of these players quite a bit. I think the only reason I would take Gallup in their current situations, personally. But it does scare me a little bit, the uncertainty around Dak.
You really think they're going to let him walk?
I don't think they should, but I'm not sure that...
Like,
I mean,
short of the Cowboys getting a top five pick and feeling that they're going to get Lawrence, Fields, or the risk on Trey Lance, what are you going to do next year? Unless they go Kirk
Red
Cousins.
Rocket. Red Rifle. Whatever his name is.
Yeah, Rifle. Red Rocket, something very different.
Well, hey, whatever.
Just go to Urban.
It's unlikely, but that's I've also stopped
trying to predict what the hell's going to happen in the NFL because we spent every year saying that this is the year Ertz is going to get dropped because he costs too much money. Yep. And we were saying how Derrick Henry was totally just going to get dropped and all of this stuff, but they signed him to the deal and all. Yep. So I think I'm kind of done. I'll give my opinion, but I can't push as much as I used to because who the hell knows anymore?
Yeah. 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 You're right. I mean, you don't know. And yeah. I would feel a little bit better about it if they had gotten something done. I feel like with Dak and the numbers that he was demanding, I feel like he might have been a little bit out of touch. And then, but now that Patrick Mahomes has gotten paid, and the price of a franchise quarterback goes up. It just does. It doesn't go up to 50. No, he's not going to make more money than Patrick Mahomes make, and nor should he. But the demand of the franchise quarterback and the price point that you have to pay those guys, it does continue to go up. I just don't know why they wouldn't have gotten the deal done, even if it was a shorter deal, lock him up for a few years here.
Well, there's rumors of them being close. They just didn't make it by the deadline. Yeah. But also, we have to remember that as of right now, there is a chance the cap goes down $76 million next year. Something like that.
Yeah.
So who the hell knows? But I hear that they're trying to spread it out across a couple of years. But just to tie a bow on this trade, Michael Gallup is wide receiver 33, and Christian Kirk is wide receiver 37. In August ADP. So again, another shoulder shrug. Just do, sure. I guess, sure. Do whatever the hell you want.
Yep.
Let's do our last trade. We might as well just get this one out of the way. This was trade out of 7. Boston Scott, Cole Kmet, a 21 first and 21 third for James Conner, T.Y. Hilton, and Blake Jarwin. I kind of feel like this leans towards the Conner side. I feel like you probably have to send a first to get Conner. even if you don't believe in the long term of him.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton is probably worth, what, Scott in the third? I mean, T.Y. Hilton, just, he's old, he gets hurt a lot, so I just don't think he has that much value, even though I love the man. And then Jarwin's worth more than Cole Kmet, so it's not awful by any way, but like I remember seeing this come across, I'm like, oh, that's the Connor side pretty easily. And that's me thinking that Connor is probably just a one-year asset. Mm-hmm. Do you feel any different about this?
No, probably not. I mean, I think it's fine. I think, if you're looking at this a year ago, I think you're like, what? Right? I mean, Connor and T.Y., that side last year would have been like, yeah, but you know, Hilton's already hurt with hamstring stuff, and Connor, he does look like a beast weight room.
Oh man, wise. That picture of his back where it like took up the entire camera. Yeah. It was, oh man.
Right. And again, I mean, he's a guy that when he's healthy is pretty effective, especially with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. So
with a working offense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think for anybody who's trying to win, this year, I think definitely the Connor. So I'll tell you what though, Boston Scott is really interesting. He's really interesting because, so, I mean, Miles Sanders is a stud. He's a stud, right? But there's a lot of work that left that backfield. I mean, Jordan Howard carried the ball a ton last year. Mm-hmm. So yes, Miles Sanders is gonna pick up a big chunk of that, but so is Boston Scott, and Boston Scott in his role last year was really effective. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and he shows what he can do in the passing game and out in, you know, out in space and stuff too. So, I mean, I think he's one of those guys that like, he's not really overly appreciated in fantasy circles, but he's a guy that can like help you win a league, especially in a year like this that is like really a little bit more unpredictable maybe, or a year where those, you know, those role players on teams are going to have bigger roles because, you know, if somebody gets sick or, you know, whatnot. I mean, I think Boston Scott is a guy that he's going to put up steady numbers.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy where like, your last two flexes, you can throw him in and feel completely fine about it. You don't have to like battle yourself on which of these bad guys has the best matchup. You can like, oh no, I'll throw Boston Scott in. That's fine.
Yep.
And yeah, you need that on your team, even on a normal season. So I completely agree. I've been struggling with Miles Sanders' value. I still seem to not like him as much as the owner in every single league when I try and offer trades. Mm-hmm. And words frozen. Okay. So I did, we don't have a title yet, but I did a lunch break with Stompy, last week, which we're going to do again this week at some point. And it was about running backs. And at the end, we talked about Miles Sanders and the difference between a workhorse back and a 1A that can catch the ball, kind of. And Miles Sanders for a decent amount of this non-point scoring season was being treated like a workhorse. He somehow dropped a little bit. Like he went from like running back 6 to running back 13. And not just because of Clyde Edwards-Helaire going up to 5. But I think he's not a workhorse back, which means he's not getting 300 touches and 80, 90 targets. Like I just don't think that's what his season is going to be. And especially if that is the case, Boston Scott's going to have a sizable workload. I mean, I just took the long way around to kind of agreeing with you pretty much. Like, I think there's a chance. And like when Darren Sproles was on the team, the dude was 47 years old, still fast as hell because he's Darren Sproles, but like they still threw him out there. It didn't matter who their running back was. So I think they like having that player on the team, and that's what Boston Scott is. So I do think he's going to get a lot of play, and I think he's going to be very usable. But to draw this back to the trade that we're talking about, like, I don't know, like this year, James Conner, T.Y. Hilton, and Blake Jarwin all seem like easy plugs. James Conner, when he's healthy, will be your starting running back every single week. T.Y. Hilton, assuming you're like in the trade addicts leagues where you can start from like 1 to 7 wide receivers, T.Y. Hilton's going to be one of your top 7 wide receivers. That's easy. Even when he isn't, as long as he's healthy, he'll be one of your top 7 best wide receivers. And Blake Jarwin, the hype around that guy has gotten pretty up there also, which we didn't talk about when we talked about tight ends before. But now that Jason Witten is finally gone and there's no one else in the tight end room really worthwhile, Dallas tight ends get a lot of play. So right now it's just Jarwin. So like I see so much on that side where I get that there's value on the other one. Just meh, value. Like
Yeah.
I would easily pay that side to get those three players.
I think so too.
Okay, so that is enough of, well, that's all the trades, so it's not really that's enough of it. But I guess it is because that's all we got done. The next thing we are going to do is we got a couple of listener questions. So why don't you hit us with listeners' questions?
Listener questions.
I threw too many S's in there. I've been watching too much Letterkenny. I don't know if you watch it, but there's one guy that adds way too many S's to words and just listeners' questions. That's not right. So this one was super interesting and it's really like, it made me think about even the way we talk. At Swagzilla 0G. So our boy Swags, why do we expect more in trades than we are willing to give? Like, it's really funny. Even when we talk about someone's trade value, we'd say, well, I'd buy him for a late second, but I'd want an early first to sell him. Like, what is, like, why is there that discrepancy? Like, why do we think we should get a guy cheaper than we would be willing to accept it? Do we actually think that's the case, or do we think maybe that's a negotiating gap to get between? Like, I'm asking because I literally don't know the answer. I just know that's the way I talk and I don't know why it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Like, well, I mean, there's potential. I mean, there's added value for a player that is on your team already, like psychologically speaking, not really. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, but when you have a player already in your lineup or on your roster, it's like, you know, I have this player already. So if somebody is asking for this player, I mean, they have X value on the market, but they have, you know, in your mind, it's like, well, they have additional value because they're on my team, right? Realistically, here's the other thing. If you want an honest answer, Swags, the honest answer to this question is, because we all want to feel like we want to trade. That's the honest answer. Everybody wants to win trades. You may, you know, as much as you may say, and I say it all the time, you know, and a lot of us do, you know, we'll, you know, we need to, you know, I want to trade that everybody's happy with, or I want to trade where, you know, I'm not looking to rip people off. I'm looking for fair value and I'm looking for this and I'm looking for that. We all want to feel like we one or at least it's even, right? So yeah. If you get the extra piece or the extra value, then you're probably guaranteed to feel like you're okay either way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's a big part of it. I really do.
Yeah. The more I think about it, the more, because I am absolutely, like I said, I'm 100% guilty of talking like that and saying, oh, I'd want to buy him for a late second, sell him for an early first. I think that really is, like you're saying, like, I think it's more of just a comfort value of the range of this metaphorical player's value, where if I really did just feel like selling him, I would sell him for a late second, but I'd want that early second, but I would want that late first. It's like, I think I am going to settle on the answer that, at least me personally, because I can't answer for the world in general, but I think it's more of price range and how I would want it as opposed to what the end answer would be. Because if I'm saying, I mean, we're talking about what? A 4-pick difference. And that's not really the end of the world in any way, shape or form. So if you're holding a card on someone that I really want and I'm trying like, no, dude, early second and a third. No, fine. Okay. Just take my first. Like that's how it would go. And especially with you who would just wait me out and let me get impatient and I would just throw it at you anyway. That freaking smile on your face knows it's true. like, I think at least when I say it, that's really what it is. I don't expect that there really is a difference in the price of buying and selling. Besides, like you said, a lot of people do just increase the value of a player because they're on their team. And that really just, it's in your head. That's all it is. I think, at least again, when I say it, it's because of the range and how I hope the trade leans value-wise. Because like you said, you do want, when you're buying, you want to try and get a guy a little cheaper than you think you should. And when you're selling him, you want to try and get a little more. Whether that leads to you winning or losing the trade, to me, at least in the way I'm saying it, I don't think it matters. But it's just that one specific chunk value-wise is how you want to think about it. And you want that to lean in your direction.
Well, and psychologically, it's interesting too, because we qualify... There's totally a psychological aspect to this.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
There is. I mean, think about how we make it okay for ourselves to not get the. So when you talk about that range value, so you know, early second versus a late first, right? In order for us to qualify that, to make it okay, to make ourselves feel okay about getting the lower end of that range, we say, oh, well, I got my guy.
Yeah.
Right? Right? We say all the time. I mean, that's one of our big things. Go get your guy. Right? Like, yeah. It's okay to lose a little value or to, you know, not get the upper end of that range, but we qualify it.
Yeah.
And we say, well, it's okay to do that if you are getting your guy. You know, but you shouldn't necessarily make a habit of that, you know, in trading over a long, you know, dynasty managership. God, my brain tonight too, man.
I was letting you
it's
go.
Been like, and, like, I was that, trying like, to come up with the word. And like, what, oh, yeah.
That's what it's like when I talk. I get it. Okay, so I think we're going to start rambling on that one for way too long if we don't just move on. the next question. All right, so let's go to these two that we touched on a little bit. Justin Mercer at jmercer711. Startup drafts happening between now and the start of the NFL season. What's the best strategy? # cool kids for life. Patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. $5 sign up. Get you into that cool kids club. Our chat on GroupMe. Just letting you know what he was talking about. I'm not pushing. I'm just saying if you were curious what he meant when he said cool kids for life, that's what he meant. Just that's what I'm putting out there. So you were saying at least you said before, and it necessarily wasn't about startups, but you were saying right now the players you're leaning are to pretty much not rookies. Guys you've seen it from, guys you know will be steady in their production that you've seen it from. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that's the answer. I think you are either right now, you are saying, I'm going to win this year, or I am just not going to do anything this year. In a league that I definitely did not start, that we definitely did not have the startup draft for, I have like three players that are not rookies and I have six or seven firsts. Like that's how I went on that one. I'm like, this year might not happen. So I'm going to insulate the hell out of my value. I am just going to not even get a guy that will probably lose value because he's a year older. So I'm trying to think like Mike Williams might be my oldest player. Like seriously, like that's really how bad it is. Like 26 is like the highest I go. So. Yeah, so I think that's really, not to say there's one way to do it, but I think there's less of a middle ground right now for this year, because having solid starters with not much bench, which is usually how I like my teams because I hate making lineup decisions because I'm terrible at it, I think that's bad this year. I think that's super detrimental to your team. So either you are playing to win this year and figure out the rest later, or you are just playing for 2 years from now. I think it's dangerous to be in the middle.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, so, and I said earlier about veterans, and I didn't necessarily mean, right, older veterans per se. But at the same time, I think
old people, they're 27, they're old.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, I mean, I think it's players and systems, so not just players, but systems that are established, right? And are like there's a continuance of a system. So like new, you know, the Panthers, the Giants, the, you know, teams like that are
installing new offenses.
Installing, thank you. It was like instituting.
Yeah,
damn.
Right there with you.
Yes, installing new offenses, right? Or have players that are coming into a new, you know, vital players that we're thinking, oh, well, you know, this is a... I'll give you a perfect example. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, I get it, right? I mean, I understand. I understand it, right? Going in, I mean, any player drafted into that offense right now is going to be significantly boosted because you have the best quarterback in the game currently, you know, throwing the football around. That's fine.
The fact that we still talk about Mecole Hardman shows it just means being in that offense means you're worth talking about.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I mean, and look, if obviously there are several things working in his favor, and you know, in terms of workload and different things like that, but he's got to learn that offense in the shortest amount of time that a rookie's had to ever learn an offense, or at least in the common NFL type deal, right?
There wasn't like an early guy that isn't brought in before week one.
There wasn't OTAs. He didn't have a preseason to work on pass blocking or on, you know, if he can't, I don't care how good of a runner slash catcher slash whatever it is. If Patrick Mahomes is getting knocked on his ass because Clyde Edwards-Helaire misses a block, he's going to get yanked. I'm telling you, I don't care. I mean, I get it.
Draft capital and Chiefs offense and Damian Williams isn't playing and he opted out. And I get all of that.
I understand it. And I'm telling you, if their $50 million quarterback gets put on his ass because Edwards-Helaire misses a block. And look, I'm not educated on Edwards-Helaire as a pass blocker. Maybe he's a fantastic pass blocker. So if he is, and people are like, well, he is, and you don't know your shit, that's, you're right. I don't know my shit on pass blocking running backs when I'm talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know if he's good at that or not. All I'm saying is if he's not, you know, or if he misses an assignment because he hasn't been able to work the kinks out in the preseason with a third string quarterback back there. Yeah. Taking all those hits, you know, then there's the potential that he's not going to get exactly the workload that you think he's going to get drafting him at the 105. Anyways,
We're going to get real specific with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They also had a lineman opt out, which means their offensive line is going to be a little worse than we thought before, which means blitz pickup's going to get even harder for the running back because a guy who might get through in a different space than he's supposed to. Because their offensive line isn't what it should be. So that adds another level to what you're saying. Though, if that really does matter in the long run, if they actually do ask him to block all that often as opposed to just going on wheel routes and stuff like that, who the hell knows? But I agree with everything.
Dude, this is absolutely batshit crazy to me, too. I'm looking at the ADP right now on a running backs. Derrick Henry's running back 12. You're out of your fucking mind.
Especially
that's
after getting signed.
Ridiculous.
Like, I went on a show or two ago. Well, I wasn't on that show. So two shows ago, I'm in on second contract running backs because everyone is so out on them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like Derrick Henry being running back 12 right now is dumb. That's the only other word I could think. That's the only word I could think about because he's on the team for another 2 years. He's the center of their offense. And like, the dude has a lot of tread left because he was held back for a bunch of years with DeMarco Murray there. So it's like the Mark Ingram thing where, yeah, he's 30, but he's not really 30. He's not football 30. So like, I think we're going to be there with Derrick Henry for a bit. So I bought a bunch of shares already this non-point scoring season. I'll probably buy one or two more before the season actually starts just because he's easily top 10, at least this year and probably next also. And
talk about a guy running back,
that's all you care about.
Yeah, you talk about a guy who knows his offense.
Yep.
I mean, that dude knows how to run in that offense. If you doubt it, go put the tape on and watch him run people. Watch him, first of all, watch him run through huge assholes. And then when he gets into the secondary, watch him run little dudes over.
Watch him run through huge assholes.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yes. New shirt. Let that go. New, oh, see, our merchandise department needs me, bro. No, it doesn't.
Oh my God, I am not designing that shirt.
Oh yeah, definitely you are. You got to figure that out.
Okay, we're going to move on before designing we go further. Shirts, so.
Before so you go further into that, yikes.
The other question we sort of tackled a little bit with the Travion Williams and stuff. At T-Man, I think it's like 4 underscores afterwards. Rocking the waiver wire. I always look forward to what gem, in quotes, I may get off the wire, but what to look for? At what cost do you take a guy like the next Lazard, Auden Tate, Kendrick Bourne, Greg, what the hell's Ward's first name? Gregory Ward. Yep. Over maybe dropping a rookie stash or something like that. Maybe like Duvernay or Cephas. See, the thing to me is Duvernay and Cephas are dudes that you want on your team because they are one guy away from having a role. Like Marvin Jones goes down. Quentin Cephas is going to be the guy to replace him. If Hollywood Brown gets hurt, and we've seen it, Duvernay is going to be the deep guy. And you want that in that offense. I mean, it'll be risky to bet on it, like by actually putting him in your lineup. But I have Duvernay on like probably two out of three of my best ball teams because it's always tough. Marquise Brown had the foot injury. Foot injuries take a little over a year to heal from, so maybe he's fine now. But still, we've seen him get hurt. He bulked up a bit, but he's still a bit of a little guy. Maybe he gets hurt. Bam, there you go. You know, all of a sudden, Duvernay can catch a couple of touchdowns deep. Yeah. But I think this year, it is safe to drop a couple of your fourth, fifth round rookie picks to pick up a couple of guys on the actual waiver wire. Again, assuming you're not in the Trade Addicts leagues that are 60 freaking roster spots. If you're in a normal league where it's like 25, then I would rather have the guy that has caught the ball in the NFL before and has been on the same team he was as last year, like we were saying before, where the consistency of the offense matters. I would rather have that than my late round guys, rookie guys. But I'm trying to think of someone off the top of my head that I would want. Auden Tate is actually a great, I think,
see for me
the example of that. Yeah, I think he will get the play over T. Higgins if AJ Green goes down. Just because T. Higgins hasn't had any play in the offense.
Yeah.
Kendrick Bourne, I know they're not the same person, but Jalen Hurd just tore his ACL. So that's one less wide receiver. So I know we're not adding any guys on top of this. Okay, you know what? I'll add someone. Cole Beasley. Nothing changed for Cole Beasley. It doesn't matter that Stephon Diggs is there, but he's still going to catch a bunch of balls. Mm-hmm. He's still going to be a usable PPR guy. And yeah. I'm sure he's probably on a couple of wires in leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, the guy out of this group is Lazard. I think he's the one for me that I would rather have over those rookies. First of all, Cephas is a guy that I have everywhere. He is on almost every, like literally, I think he and Higgins were the two most drafted rookies that I had.
I have him all
over the place. Yeah. But I would take Lazard or Lazard or what, how the hell do you
pronounce? I'm sticking with Lazard.
Yeah, Lazard. So, who are they going to throw the ball to other than Davante Adams and Aaron Jones? Hopefully. Alan Lazard, probably. Yeah. Look, I know we've been looking for the second wide receiver in Green Bay for about the last 10 years, and it's never really happened since Randall Cobb left. Right. But I do think that he has some upside that, you know, you mentioned Tate, and I like that too. I think if Higgins, that will be interesting to watch now that you said that. I think that'll be an interesting one to watch. If AJ Green does get hurt, that'll be an interesting. That guy will get, whoever gets that spot will get some play and some statistics. So, other than maybe those two, I think Kendrick Bourne too, though. I think you're right, Russ. I think it's probably if you were going to drop some of those rookie stashes in dynasty leagues makes sense because you just never know. Right. But, yeah. If in this particular season, you know, yeah, maybe you take those younger wide receivers that have a year or two of experience and have maybe showed a few flashes, not to be potential superstars, but that they could have some fantasy value. Because in late rounds, that's what you're looking for, guys that have that can possibly have fantasy value. So,
right. So I have the 80 people doubled and just on the wide receivers. I'm just going to list a couple of guys that I do want. You mentioned Randall Cobb. I think he's a great end of roster guy.
I do too.
Antonio Gandy-Golden. I know he is a rookie and he was probably drafted in every single league. But I mean, with what's his name? I can never remember which is which, but not Butler, right? Or was it the other guy? Was it Akeem Butler?
No,
he's the guy in the Cardinals.
Yeah, Butler was in Arizona.
Okay, Harmon.
He was last. Yeah, Harmon, right. Harmon.
He tore his ACL, so Gandy Golden's right. The new big guy, but also on the same team. I have a lot of Steven Sims. Mm-hmm. He got a lot of random play. Now, Antonio Gibson might do the same thing as Steven Sims did, but again, they need to pass the ball to somebody. So I think he's a decent stash. Andy Isabella, if something goes weird in the Arizona offense, that's just so fast. And he's another guy that'll play in the slot. So if they do run the four wide receiver sets that they want to, and Fitz does, for some reason, ever not play, I think Isabella will be that fourth guy. I just like saying the name Miles Boykin, so I'm going to put his name out
Boykin.
There. Yeah, Miles Boykin is just a fun name to say. I will never give up on Terrell the Gazelle. Yeah, I think that's about the end of my list. Man, Kenny Stills is really low down. I'd grab Kenny Stills.
Will Fuller will be hurt by week
now.
Two.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have Kenny Stills on a lot of teams, so I'll go with that. Okay, so that is that question, so we're going to move on to another
one. So before we move on real quick, so a couple questions in the in our chat tonight, too.
Oh, cool. I'm super not paying attention.
Go no worries. So two quick ones. So Nick Martinez, and I'm not sure if this is no offense to – yeah, I don't think that was our
– I was going to call him Martinez, our Nick Martinez.
Yes, but Nick Martinez, this Nick Martinez – He was in the open bar chat a couple of weeks ago when I was on there, and he was asking some great questions and putting some good information in. So Nick Martinez 2.0, or
we'll call him 1B, whatever, because he's a cool kid. So
all right. So Nick asks, I mean, there's a few things in here that we've been talking about that he's commenting on, but he asked who, what would you give for him? And I think he was talking about Derrick Henry. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think he was talking about Derrick Henry. I would give multiple firsts for Derrick Henry. Pretty easily.
Two pretty easily, yeah.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be, I mean, if we're talking 21 firsts, unless I am awful, and in which case I wouldn't be trying to acquire Derrick Henry anyways.
Truth.
You know, and thought I could get one of those quarterbacks in a super flex league. Other than that, I would pay any two 21 firsts for Derrick Henry.
Especially like if you next year's firsts, I've been like going down this list over and over again, like Fields, Lawrence, Lance, Etienne, and Chuba. Like those are the five guys that are going to be probably the top five. And the next group of receivers are freaking great. Rashad Bateman, Ja'Marr Chase, and I almost said DJ Moore, but that's not Rondale Moore. Like they're really, really, really good. But the thing is, they're rookie wide receivers. And that kind of drops their value a little bit. So those, if you're have a pick of a team that is a playoff team, I'd be fine completely selling that for a running back right now. So like you said, if I had to, man, if I can get away with selling like the 107 and the 111, like magically knowing what those picks are for next year, I would for Derrick Henry in a heartbeat, I would do that.
And I think we also answered a question for Justin already, Justin Mercer. Mm. But he's also in the chat and said MT, he got Michael Thomas at the 1010 in a DLF champion series, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire went 107. And I threw up when I read that.
Yeah, that follows ADP. Thomas, I think, was the pick after.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. Absolutely. Take advantage.
Michael Smash. Thomas yeah. is at 110, Justin, is a slam dunk pick. Pete, I mean, you should be backflipping. Yes. I think he even said something. He's like, it was a smash by that logic. And yes, I would have broken my finger smashing draft Michael Thomas at 110. Hey,
you take care of yourself. We don't want you getting hurt.
All right, thanks.
Don't break your finger. Okay, so we're going to do one more question. We have a few more, but we'll save them for next time. FL2 Drink Minimum, our homie, co-host of Swags, who we answered a question for before. Best Disney spinoff movie that only Disney Plus subscribers know about.
Oh, shit.
Now, here's the thing. I don't really know about any specific Disney Plus movies. A, if you are at the smallest bit of a Star Wars fan, or hell, if you're just a fan of Westerns, go watch The Mandalorian. It's a show, not a movie, but it was great. I mean, I love Star Wars, so it got that knock up a little bit, but like, it was just really well written, really fun to watch. It was pretty much a Western because, I mean, bounty hunters, you know, exist in the Old West and all of that. Of course, they just don't go after baby Yodas. So, but that's, you know, that's a twist. But that show was so much fun. And again, it's not a Disney Plus exclusive or anything, but my daughter has been huge into the Descendants lately. They're not the worst thing in the world. I thought they would be. They're not. And what's really funny is if anyone out there watches Letterkenny, Riley, the long-haired hockey player kid, actually plays Gaston's son. So imagine this guy who's just cursing like a mofo and all of this stuff, like just a disgusting human being. Like just talks like a disgusting human being because he's a hockey player, and then picture him in a Disney movie. It's just so funny to watch these Disney movies and just know what this dude says, but also, you know, him being Disney.
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to do shows, not, or a show maybe, or two, not a movie. So I love Wicked Tuna, and I watch Wicked Tuna Outer Banks. There you go. There it is.
You're such a man.
By the way, Frozen 2 is better than Frozen. It also is better than most Disney movies that have ever been made. And Show Yourself may be the greatest Disney song of all time.
When that song hits its crescendo, and it's her, Rachel Evan Woods, I think is her name, or her and her mother, when they start singing together, it just like goosebumps like hell. Like we watch a lot of the animal shows on Disney Plus. A lot of documentaries, like Disney does, like elephants and penguins, mm-hmm. and chimpanzees, like that kind of stuff. But there's also like Unlikely Friends, like it's a TV show with different like dogs and cats and gorillas and cats and stuff like that, which is like whenever the kids just don't know what to watch and it's something I don't want to completely ignore because animals are adorable and fun to learn about, like we throw one of those on. So I love, like, it's funny, like, all the commercials and everything, like, Nat Geo is, like, all the way off to the side of all the stuff listed in Disney Plus. But we actually make decent use of the Nat Geo stuff.
Yeah, same. We do the same. Yep.
And also, the Pixar shorts. There's so many that are more than just, like, what gets put on before Pixar movies that are just so damn good. Like, the effort they put into these shorts is just so astounding. And they're so well written for just being shorts. They're just... we haven't watched it yet. There's two things we haven't watched yet. One with the kids, one with not. I still need to see Hamilton.
Oh,
I still haven't
God.
Watched it yet.
Dude.
Like, I haven't heard anyone say a bad word about it. It's literally just the fact that I haven't sat down with the wife in time to watch that because we just finished Schitt's Creek, which has nothing to do with Disney, but it was freaking great. But now we'll actually sit and watch that before we start whatever the next show is.
I was biased. So musical theater, I love musical theater. It's amazing. And you know, my wife and I go to a lot of shows, not right now, obviously, but, I've been going to shows since I was a kid. So, but I went in totally biased. Like I like a lot of classical stuff. Like classic musicals. So like Rent and like Les Mis and, you know, some of the classic huge, right, musicals. And I, you know, this new musical, you know, bursts on the scene and it's like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's kind of like, and I like hip hop music, you know, I mean, I listen to hip hop. I listen to a lot of different styles of music, but, I couldn't.
Oh, you were a grumpy old man, weren't you? Broadway.
Well, I just couldn't imagine it working. Okay. And then
you're like, wait, this Lin-Manuel Miranda guy, really, he's got something.
Well, and you hear all about it, right? And it's the rave and you can't get a freaking ticket. And it's like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And I'm just like, it can't be that good. It might be good. It might be good. And I might enjoy it, but it can't be that good. And then I watched it. I haven't seen it in person yet, and I'm going to make a point.
I'm
to do
waiting
that once
for
we're
the $400.
To... Yeah, yeah. But it was outstanding. It was really good. It was awesome.
And the other show that I was talking about for kids, The Greatest Showman, the one with Hugh Jackman, P.T. Barnum or whatever. I forgot which circus guy it was after.
Yeah.
It just showed up on Disney Plus, and I know a lot of my friends say their kids love it, like all the songs and everything. So I think that's one thing I'm going to have to sit with my kids and watch.
Nice.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to call that the end of the show because we are both struggling for words and it's just about that time. Yep. So it was so freaking great to have you back, Brian. I love and respect you and admire your strength of saying you need your time for yourself to better yourself as a person, but never do that to me again.
Well, I'll see what I can do on that front. But no, I mean, just I've been I was on the open bar a couple of weeks ago, and I did one super show episode even before that, kind of in between, and it was a random thing where I just popped in. Mm-hmm. But I've said it on both of those shows, and I'll say it again here, you know. So first of all, thank you for the support in regards to that. I mean, just so people know, there was nothing horribly wrong. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't mentally in a horrible place or anything. I just had a lot of stress at work, and carrying, you know, I work with mental health patients, carrying some of that, and there's a lot going on in the world right now that people are struggling with. So, just dealing with some of that and being so damn tired at the end of days and worn down, and I just need a break. And I appreciate you giving me the space to do it. Everybody in the community has been really supportive about it. Just walking away, and just for me, I want to encourage other people to do the same thing. And I know that there are people that are very close to us in the same circles as us that really probably should take a break, mm-hmm. probably won't take a break. And that's okay. That's people have to do themselves. Okay. There I am again. That's awful statement way to say that, but people have to be themselves and have to do what's right for them. And, but I would encourage you that if you feel overwhelmed about things, especially with something that's supposed to be fun and entertaining and enjoyable in this stuff that we do, in this game that we play and talk about all the time, take a break, take a mm-hmm. break, take care of yourself, because you're not going to give, you're not going to be able to give listeners or readers or, you know, community members that you're talking to the same type and level of communication and commitment and those types of things if you don't take care of yourself first. And it's not selfish to do so. So,
but there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a little selfish when it comes to taking care of yourself, just to throw that out.
Yes, there. Correct. Exactly. So, okay. but anyways, thank you again. I appreciate this was a lot of fun. I have missed us, Russ. Yes. So, this was awesome.
Yes. And I'm going to wrap up quickly. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. We talked about it already. We still got our wristbands going on. Navy blue, neon green. DM Brian because I don't want to deal with it right now. $5 per wristband. Oh, that's right. Still to the end of August. Anything, all proceeds from ffpodshirts.storenv.com and from the wristbands are going to go to the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. That's our donation charity. That's the word. That's our charity for the 2 months. I'll let Brian pick once September rolls around for September, October one. Oh, wow. I actually timed it so it's at the end of the year. That works. Nice. Awesome. Purely an accident. Man, on that note, this has been wonderful. This has been awesome. I can't wait till next week already. Good night, Brian.
Night, Out House.
Thank you for listening to the Trader Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Out House and at Brian RFF. Follow the pod at Trader Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.